A reading from the first letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians. When I came to you, brothers, proclaiming the mystery of God, I did not come with sublimity of words or of wisdom, for I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I came to you in weakness and fear and much trembling. And my message and my proclamation were not with persuasive words, wisdom, but with a demonstration of spirit and power, so that your faith might rest not on human wisdom, but on the power of God. The Word of the Lord. Paul had originally come to Corinth after an experience of failure in Athens. He had tried to present the gospel message in his best eloquence and oratorical style, like the many Greek philosophers and scholars that were perhaps gathered about him. Yet, only a handful of people responded. It was after that disappointment that Paul made a decision that he would never do that again. The gospel was not only the message, it was also the medium. St. Paul's preaching was in the power of God. Of itself, it was nothing memorable or extraordinary. He and we don't need clever oratory to present the truth of reality. Preaching, according to Paul, is not essentially the words, but the content. To be a Christian preacher is to bear witness to what God has done in Christ Jesus for our salvation. Thus, he resolved to know nothing but Christ and Him crucified. The dazzling rhetoric of today's society often covers up a lack of solidity and truth. People today are charmed by words that tickle our ears and excite our emotions, but often have no solid foundation. Catholicism is built upon faith and reason. Faith gives us understanding. The two complement one another. Faith gives us this understanding of the mysteries of God and enables us to see how reasonable it is. Paul was a double graduate of learning, having graduated in the Greek schools of Tarsus and the Hebrew schools of Jerusalem. He was standing on top of the world, both literarily and ecclesiastically. Yet he died to all the majesty and splendor of his former self, coming down to the level of the illiterate fishermen of Galilee. If Paul preached a crucified Christ, then every Christian preacher's own life must share in and reflect a crucified life to the world. Thus, Christianity has always been countercultural. The messenger of Jesus, who redeemed us on the cross, must give up his own life. Why? Paul gives only one reason, the cross. The newborn faith of the listener, won by Christian preaching, should not be mistakenly based upon personality and human qualities. It is true that God uses the personality of the messenger, but the gospel's power is much deeper. It's the mystery of the cross, relived in its servants and taking on their entire existence. Thus, we can banish from our minds fear, worry, bitterness, resentment, and think only of Christ and the love he had that led him to the cross. And our human weaknesses then can show forth more radically the power of the Spirit and not ourselves. If our faith depends upon clever statements or sound bites, we will soon fall away. We must experience the power of God in our lives. In the mid-1800s, a prominent Protestant pastor observed that there were three things that were required to make a good preacher: study, temptation, and prayer. Study. No one who tries to discern the word of truth will neglect the continuous study of the word of God. We use our minds to seek constantly the meaning of God's will and his word, so that we might know how situations and events fit together in God's plan of salvation. This calls for reading, listening, being open to the truth wherever it may be found. Temptation. Everyone who is a servant of God and whose whole aim is to save souls will be more or less exercised in temptation. There's no lack of them, and there's no need to look for them. Temptation comes our way when we least expect it. Temptation lurks at every moment to catch us off guard in good and bad deeds or thoughts. Our offense against the temptations of the devil is to humble ourselves before God and call upon his mercy, seeking his forgiveness and healing. And finally, prayer. No one who wants to live close to God can neglect prayer. This is our surrender to God, to be his instrument of peace and grace to others. Prayer connects us to our source, our summit, and our goal. The Greek word Paul uses for power is dynamos, or dynamite. Dynamite is one of the greatest explosives and most potent mechanical power in the material world. As dynamite blows out everything with which it comes in contact in the material world, so the dynamite of the Holy Spirit blows all sin and devils out of the human spirit, transforming us in sanctification and culminating in the resurrection of the soul, mind, and body. Paul preached by the demonstration and the dynamite of the Holy Spirit. Well are these words coupled together, dynamite and spirit. They vividly signify the Pauline ministry, as dynamite is the most demonstrative thing in the world, roaring like a volcano, pealing like the most terrible thunderclaps, and throwing stones in all directions and clearing everything away before it. When the gospel ceases to be dynamite, you must suspect a leakage in the vessel. Oh, let us pray to God, let us beg him that we too might have the ministry like Paul's. That is, in demonstration and dynamite of the Holy Spirit.